You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. Next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with the contactless Visa. Help support your community because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. And we are back here, our midweek edition of Locked On Ravens, and as is tradition here, Cole Jackson of Russell Street Report is back to answer all of your questions. Cole, the Ravens 4-1 right now through 5 weeks. I think that's a pretty good start. What do you think?
Yeah, you got to be happy with it. I mean, it's funny. There's been a lot of negativity in the recent weeks, and I think we've talked about in the past. It's just about how high the bar is for this team, and I mean, I think there's definitely a lot to work on, but, you know, the important thing is early in the season is getting those wins so that you're not scrambling in must-win games down the stretch. And we learned that last year when we went on that big stretch. Like, it was, you know, we were kind of got into cruise control your own destiny. So, you know, there's a lot of teams doing well in the AFC right now, especially the AFC North with Cleveland and Pittsburgh looking pretty solid. So, I mean, the important thing is to just keep beating the teams that you're seeing on Sundays.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And then you can kind of look at the good teams. Like, we saw how the Ravens match up with Kansas City. We're going to see later in the year how the Ravens match up with teams like the Steelers and the rest of the pack there. So for right now, Baltimore is doing their job. And again, so many high expectations for this team coming off of that historic 2019 season. But we're going to be answering questions here, Cole. All three segments, we got a plethora of questions. And I know we're probably not going to be able to get to all the questions today. So I will be picking up the remaining ones throughout the rest of the week on Thursday and on Friday. But Cole, let's first start out here with Alex Lawson, who asks, he knows he's no NFL mind, but the play calling is off, right?
I think quite a few questions came in about the play calling, so I guess let's just look at it now. So the play calling is off. Yes, I do agree. And the reason I agree is because we keep churning out some pretty solid rush averages, especially with our running backs, but then we seem to not want to continue to run the ball. And I remember I said going into this game, this was sort of a get right game. You know, it's just, the Bengals have a good D line. They're definitely not bad, but I did think we could run the ball on them. And I think coming out the gate, they ran the ball pretty effectively, but there was a trend that I noticed, and I was looking back through the drives, and it does seem to be consistent. If they got to 2nd and 7, they pretty much abandoned the run, except for the drive where Mark Ingram pulled off a 11-yard run, a 20-yard run, and both of those long runs were on 2nd and 7. So this is something that we did not see out of Greg Roman last year. He was committed to the run game, and if things weren't going his way, it didn't seem to persuade him out of it. Now, you can go to the Tennessee game, and I understand, and even the KC game early in the year, but he kind of looked like he, you know, down the stretch, down the winning streak specifically, he had no problem sticking to that run game. And it was especially surprising given that we were up by 2 scores for the whole game, pretty much. So, you know, we ran the ball 24 times total. That does include some scrambles, or 1 scramble, I believe. And we passed the ball 37 times. Now, when you're up 27, or when you finish 27-3, it is very confusing how you arrive at those totals. So what's my theory on why that's happening? The only thing that I can possibly think of, and I have a few things to support my theory, I think they genuinely looked at this game like they would look at a preseason game. Now, before you go on Twitter and roast me, hear me out. Lamar Jackson did not run in this game. He did not run a lot in preseason games. And on one of his rushes, he got down super quick on that 7-yard run he had. He dove to the ground away from contact. So it looked to me as though he was instructed not to run. And if you look at the all 22 end zone angles, he steps up in the pocket with some very open space, but throws it into a tight window. And that's like, it's just not Lamar Jackson football. Now you can look at the injury. I personally think he was instructed. I don't think it was injury related. I didn't notice any other physical limitations. Now, reason number two why I think they game plan this way is they rotated at right guard, which is almost unheard of in a regular season game. So they rotate, they started Patrick McCurry, but then Ben Powers came in and played, I think, three series. I've never seen that, not until you kind of putting in backups in garbage time. But it was the third drive, and they put Powers in, and Jeff Zerbiak tweeted that there was no physical limitation to McCurry. So, again, that's another kind of weird thing that you don't normally see. And then the third thing was the play calling. You know, they were trying some different concepts. They were passing the ball a lot. It almost like they were looked like they were trying to work on things. So, you know, it might seem like a far-fetched theory, but I think they got up by two scores and they said, let's work on some things. Let's try some things in the pocket. We didn't get a preseason, and the end result was kind of some weird play calling, some ugly play calling, some play calling that didn't make sense to anyone. So, you know, that's my theory. You might not be right, but that's what it looked like to me.
I do agree, Cole. Maybe there was something there going on with the injury where they instructed him to do certain things. But overall, it has been quite, I'll say, interesting to see how the play calling has gone through 5 weeks this season. But our next question comes from Dan Ross. And Dan asks, how much does this Ravens offensive line miss Marshall Yanda?
We miss it bad. And I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. I know people are down on the right guard situation. And you know, it's actually led me to kind of rethink who I wanted to start at right guard. So you guys heard me on here before the season. I wanted it to be Phillips. I thought his potential was so high that it made sense. But, you know, when we go back and look at it, he was raw. He was switching positions. And, you know, he didn't have a full training camp or a preseason. So it may not have made the most sense to go with, you know, the more raw but the higher ceiling guy. And it may have made more sense to go with the higher floor but maybe not quite that potential guy in say, a McCurry or a Powers who we got to see. Now, I will say I thought the offensive line played significantly better. I thought both McCurry and Powers looked good. The run blocking in particular looked better at the right guard position. So, you know, we're still going to have to see what the coaches do when Phillips is healthy. But, you know, we miss Yanda, and we knew we were going to miss Yanda, and they knew it too. I mean, you're replacing a Hall of Famer. It's always going to be hard. Did I think it would be this bad? Not necessarily. I've been a little surprised, but, you know, I did see improvement, and I've seen improvement, you know, through a couple weeks. I actually went back and rewatched the Washington football game. I went back and watched that game, and you see Phillip's shoulder injury, and a lot of the plays that he gave up after getting injured are pretty noticeable, and you see him rotating his shoulder significantly through that game. So, you know, he had a bad outing coming out of a good game against Kansas City at right guard. And, you know, he got injured, and he might have been, you know, starting to stack those games. But, you know, the reason I wasn't too worried about bringing in a veteran at right guard or making a trade is we have so many options. There's a bunch of guys that can go out there and compete for the job, and that's what we're going to see now. And I mean, we literally just rotated two guys through it, which, like I said, is almost unheard of. It's in the regular season. You see it all the time in preseason, of course. But, you know, it's going to shake out, and you have to stick with it. And that's kind of what I've been saying through the weeks is, you know, you got to give them time to gel, especially when you consider that they didn't have a normal preseason.
Yeah, and I think another whole thing with all of this, with the missing Marshall Yanda, the right guard situation, let's take Tyree Phillips as an example here. And Marshall Yanda did not become a Hall of Fame guard in his first season. It took time for him to improve, to learn the NFL game. And I think it's just because the Ravens are in the midst of a really competitive Super Bowl window where I think people are saying, well, everybody needs to be top tier, in tip-top shape, doing things at a perfect clip, or else, you know, there's no way the Ravens in the Super Bowl. But that's not necessarily the case. Guys can have bad games. Guys can learn throughout a season, and teams can still be competitive that way. We see it with Lamar Jackson every week. He's still learning, and he keeps this offense competitive each and every week. So I'm confident that Phillips can, you know, turn it around from that outing against the football team where his shoulder was hurt. You mentioned that, Cole. I think that's a really, really good point. But our final question, or I should say questions, because I'm going to combine two before we head into our first break. Jeff Hook asks, what's a bigger need at the trade deadline, wide receiver, edge, or offensive line? And then a Ravens fan asks, what receiver should the Ravens target at the trade deadline?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, you just heard me talk about the offensive line. If they were going to trade for anything, I would consider someone that can play like backup left tackle more than I would guard. And the reason I say that is, like I said, I really trust that they're gonna get a guy out there at right guard that can start. So, you know, we have to give it time. I'm not ready to pull the plug on the guys that we have now. And we have so much competition that, you know, I just want to see it shake out. Now, for pass rush versus wide receiver, it's one of those things, and I feel like it happens every year. We've been talking about needing a pass rusher and a wide receiver for, I don't know, the last 6 years. Wide receiver for the last, you know, 15 years. But for me, the bigger need is actually at pass rush. And the reason I say that is because I still think the identity of this offense is going to be the run game, and they just need to get back to it. You know, we've seen what a guy like Stephon Diggs can do for a team like Buffalo and be that number one. My concern is I'm not sure we're going to be able to trade for that type of guy. The names that are getting thrown out there, you know, it's the Keelan Coles of the world, or you know, maybe Devontae Parker, but I'm not sure why Miami would trade one of their best wide receivers when they have a guy like Tua that's up and coming. You know, every team needs a wide receiver, so we're probably looking at more middle of the pack wide receivers to bring in here. I'm not sure it's going to push the needle for us. Maybe a guy like Jamison Crowder, but again, you know, is he another slot guy? Do we already have enough slot guys? Should we not be giving those looks to Devin Duvernay, who continues to impress every week? You know, can he be that third option? And then there's also, like, if you go back and look at some of these plays, even go look at the Mark Andrews touchdown from this week. Miles Boykin breaks open on a post route. He's wide open out of the slot in the end zone. And Lamar stared at Mark Andrews until he boxed out the DB and he slung the ball in. And it was a touchdown, so that's great. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that Boykin was open there. So, you know, everyone's down on Boykin, and it's hard to say you shouldn't be because of what we've seen so far. You know, he's leaving plays on the field, but there's also a ton of opportunities out there that he's not getting the ball thrown to him. So, you know, I'd like to see him just get that opportunity. I'm not sure that I can see, you know, that out route that went for an interception 2 weeks ago, and then, you know, that weird looking fade route where it didn't look like he knew it was a fade route. I'm not sure that's enough to just say, oh, this guy can't play, let's not play him. So as for wide receiver, I'd rather keep it in-house and see if one of these guys can shake out. When we look at pass rusher, that's where I see the biggest need. It wasn't a need against the Bengals, but, you know, keep in mind that was most of the pressure came from DBs, not actually the defensive line. They racked up, I think, six of our eight sacks, or five or six of our eight sacks. So again, it's all coming off blitzes, which blitzes are great, and that's how Wink Martindale is going to call this defense. But, you know, we still need to look at a front four that could get consistent pressure. So, you know, I would still be looking at, you know, someone like Ryan Kerrigan. I think that's the guy. He's not getting a ton of snaps in Washington right now. I think he would be the best guy that can come in and provide the impact that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. The Ravens, you know, they're not going to have any shortage of options at the trade deadline. It's just a matter of, do they want to spend the money? Do they want to spend the draft capital? There's so much that goes into it. And look, I don't think a lot of people expected the Marcus Peters deal to happen last season. You know, he was kind of a name out of thin air that not many were expecting to get traded in the first place. And then ultimately it ended up happening. So the Ravens, they can make a splash. I think they want to make a splash. I mean, they've sniffed around DeAndre Hopkins. They sniffed around Jadeveon Clowney, a bunch of other options as well. So Baltimore, I think, you know, the cap situation right now is a little bit cloudy in terms of how they could fit somebody into, you know, the roster right now if they were to go after a star with a big contract. But there are options on the younger side. It's just a matter of, do the Ravens want to relinquish that draft capital and maybe even player capital in order to get them? But we're going to head into our first break now, and when we get back, we're going to be answering more of your questions here on Locked On Ravens. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com, which got the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we are back with our second segment here of this Locked On Ravens midweek edition episode. Your host, Kevin Allstriker, still here with Cole Jackson. And we just finished answering some mailbag questions, so let's start answering some more of these, Cole. And our first question comes from a friend of the show in Mr. Spencer Schultz himself. And Spencer asks, should the right guard spot be an open competition as things stand? And additionally, what are the benefits of playing Phillips over McCarrie in terms of offensive concepts?
I'm going to start with the first question. So it has to be an open competition now. I think the very fact that they decided to rotate there this week means that they're going to look at all their options, and they're going to take the performances from both Powers and McCarrie and compare them to what Phillips was offering them. I love the second question, and it's a very Spencer question, so thank you for asking it. The biggest difference I noticed in terms of concepts is we saw Powers and McCarrie both do a better job getting to the second level than we've seen from Phillips. And so what does that mean in terms of concepts that they can call? Well, it means you can run more zone. And I think that would be very helpful. We're running a ton of gap concepts right now, even out of our options. Like if you look at the termed read option, we're seeing it's power reads where, you know, you're having a pulling guard and it's a gap concept if the ball is handed off to the running back. And I find that they're having a little bit of a hard time getting those going because of the stacked boxes we're seeing. So it's just, you know, when you're trying to run a gap concept, the best defense against this gap control. So if you have 7 in the box, 8 in the box, it's easier to control all the gaps that the offense can possibly run the ball through. And that's what we've seen. Now with zone, you can create numbers games, but you need linemen that can reach second level. So that's what I've seen from Powers and McCarrie. It's only one game, so I mean, don't get me wrong. So I think that might be a bit of an advantage of having them. I think it expands Greg Roman's playbook a little bit. That said, I do think Phillips has that potential. He has good mobility in the run game. It's just he's having a hard time, I think, reading the defense, getting off those blocks and getting to the next guy when they have ran zone. So, you know, it's something to keep an eye on, but I think that's really the advantage concept-wise.
Yeah, there are so many different things that the Ravens can do with these guards, and they're all young. They all have room to improve. And I think that they're going to learn a lot about just who they have at this right guard spot over the next few weeks. And then after, I mean, maybe who knows how long an open competition would go for. But when you start to see, all right, this one guy isn't performing as well as we thought, this other guy is doing a lot better, you know, you'll start to see maybe a guy hold down that role full time for the most part. But Cole, let's get into more offensive line stuff. I know you love it. And Daniel Reese asks, how does the addition of another center to the roster change the offensive line's depth chart? Or is it just a move to protect a future player? Do you feel that this means Skura might be gone after this year? And for context here, the Ravens promoted Tristan Colon Castillo to the active roster a few days ago. And this feels like because, you know, John Harbaugh had alluded to the fact that teams were sniffing around Colon Castillo on the practice squad. It felt like he was going to maybe get poached. So they decided to bring him up and elevate him so that possibility was not realized. But is there a little bit more to it than that, Cole?
I really like TCC coming out. I think he kind of, I think he had a lot more potential. I'm shocked he didn't get drafted. So I really understand what Harbaugh's saying. Now, it's always a little hard to understand the coach speak and whether he's being honest, but I mean, they now have 4 or 5 guys on the roster that can play center. I also think it speaks to what they're thinking in terms of Makari moving forward, because they did start him at right guard. And as we've talked about, you have to be careful with having the depth once you commit a guy to guard. So last year, the example was Bradley Bozeman. Again, he was center depth, and then he started playing guard. So, you know, he loses that center playability in game. So they have Bredesen on the roster right now, who I guess would be your backup center. But, you know, do they trust that? Do they want more competition there? So I think it speaks to what it told me when I saw that happening, is that Makari's looked at as the starter at right guard right now. And so they want that third option on the active 53-man roster for center. And I get it. It's funny, though. It's, you know, we have five guys that can play center, but only two and a half, because I'm not that sold on Fluker at left tackle, that can play offensive tackle. So I did find that a little bit more interesting. I would prefer we have another guy on the team that can be offensive, be that offensive tackle depth. But, you know, that's just not how they're playing it. So how I viewed it is they're going to look at Makari as the starting right guard until he's not, and then they'll look to make an additional move. As for the contract status, I don't think Matt Skrill will be back next year. I think they have enough competition, similar to how they did at right guard, to let him go, because there's, like we've talked about in the past, there's just too many guys that need to be paid. And if Skrill can kind of get back to that level we saw before his injury last year, he was top 15, you know, top 10 center. Center is a premium position, so it's not going to be cheap. So I think they want to have these guys, you know, on the back burner, so that they can step in and compete for the starting center job next year.
Yeah, and I think so too. And TCC, as you referred to him as, I think has a lot of potential to maybe even overtake Skura and be that starting center next year. I mean, he is a guy who is extremely talented, and Baltimore wouldn't elevate him without seeing that talent as well. But our next question here comes from Edwin, and Edwin asks, he's seen a lot of people on Ravens Twitter say that the team should fire Harbaugh or Greg Roman, and his question is, don't you think that is absolutely absurd? Yes, we may be struggling a little on the offensive side of the ball, but we're still blowing out teams by at least 2 touchdowns, and I think that's, for me, what separates the Ravens from, let's even stay in the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers and the Browns have played their opponents, and yes, you know, they've been weak teams for the most part, pretty close. Whereas for Baltimore, they haven't looked, you know, their best, but they're still beating teams by a lot. The offense, yes, it's not where it was in 2019, but I still think it's a top NFL offense. Cole, what do you think of all this?
Oh, it's absolutely bananas. There's absolutely no justification to be firing guys right now. They're 4-1. They have a top 10 offense, even though it doesn't look the same. We know there's more potential, but they're still top 10. And we have a top 5 defense statistically right now. Again, I'm not sure if that's exactly where they stand, but you can't fire a guy when you're doing that performance. And, you know, Jason from Over the Cap just came out with a graphic today, and it compares offense and defenses. It's points allowed and points scored above schedule average. So it tries to weight your not only how your offense and defense are doing, but vis-a-vis their opponents. And the Ravens are in the top right box, which means they have a good offense and defense. So, I mean, statistically, they're one of the best teams in the NFL. I don't think that's a shock to anyone. I'm not sure why. And I think this is part of the spoiled nature that we're seeing this fan base. That winning streak we went on last year, and that historic offense we witnessed, and it was historic. They were literally the best rushing team ever. And I think we're struggling to see that regression. And, you know, it's hard when you have a historic performance. You're going to see regression, most likely. We'd be breaking our own record. So, you know, we're seeing defenses adjust to us. We're seeing defenses specifically adjust to the option concepts that we've used. And, you know, it's on this coaching staff to adjust back. And I think they've struggled there, but, you know, it's like anything. You don't just pull the plug, and you know they need to give them some time to figure it out. And I have confidence that they will.
Yeah, exactly. I think so too. And again, we're still, this season is still so young. There was no preseason, very limited offseason. This offense, you know, yes, the players are a big part of it, but sometimes, you know, the coaches need some time to get really into a season. It's just like the players. The more time they get on the field, calling plays in a live game, the more they learn and the more they can go back and adjust with all of that information. But finally, here, Cole, our last question before we head in to our second and final break is from Shore Raven. And they ask, the problem that they see when Lamar Jackson's first read isn't there is he panics and starts running around trying to find an alternative. Leaving the pocket really narrows down his passing options, and teams are pretty much learn how to stop his 100-yard rushing days. So more of a comment than a question. But Cole, do you agree with all that?
I'm not 100% sure that he looks to scramble right away. I find that he navigates the pocket quite well. There was a strike he had where he had to evade pressure from his right. He stepped up left in the pocket and got the ball out to Marquise Brown on the right-hand side of the field when he was initially reading left. So he went through all of his progressions while, you know, escaping that pressure to find that guy. So I'm not 100% sure that we've seen enough to say that that's what Lamar Jackson is doing. Now, that being said, there are some plays, absolutely there are some plays where, and I do find he's been more frantic in the pocket this year. And I think we also forget that, and I wrote an article about it after the Pittsburgh Steelers game last year, I think it was week five, where he was, you know, he was getting into a habit of staring down guys. And, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit of that again. He's uncomfortable in the pocket. I think a lot of that came from the pass protection in the first 2 weeks, which was not good. It has improved, but, you know, it's like any relationship. It's literally a trust relationship. So as that strengthens, he's going to get back to being comfortable. And I do think the pass protection has been better. Most of the Bengals' pressure came from blitzes. Anytime you're blitzed, you know, you're ending up with seven-man rushes or six-man rushes against five-man protections. And we don't keep our running back into block very often. So that could be an adjustment that they make to give him some more comfort back there. But I'm not ready to say that it's enough that it's a trend and that's who he is as a quarterback. I think we've seen some signs of that, and it's entering into the area where it is a concern to me. But I also saw it last year, and I saw him answered and adjust to it. So, you know, we have to, again, give them a little bit of time to see if he can make that adjustment this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we might not even see it this upcoming week against Philadelphia. I mean, the Ravens have their bye week after this upcoming game against the Eagles. And through that bye week, I think, again, the Ravens will be able to go and again, see the strengths and weaknesses. We're going to head into our final break. And when we get back, we're going to be answering more questions here. So stay tuned for that. And we will be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They're healthy. They're great for the health conscious person who can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It can be awkward or embarrassing to talk about ED. Usually people brush it off or blame themselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help you need with no shame. With Roman, you can get free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. And we are back here with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens episode. Kevin Ostreicher still here talking with Cole Jackson. And Cole, diving back into this mailbag, Roberts B says, since you'll be answering questions mainly focused on the offensive side of the ball, I thought I should give you a break and give you a defensive question. So with the stellar defensive performance against the Bengals, do you think the pass rush is still the main focus for an acquisition?
We kind of talked about this earlier. I think what we see is kind of phases in and out of needing another pass rusher, and it's kind of happened over the last couple of years. You know, we had this game, and it reminds me of I can't remember who we played last year, but we had 8 or 9 sacks, and everyone kind of felt comfortable about the pass rush. But then we got into, you know, another couple of games where we couldn't generate much pressure with the 4-man rush, and it was like, oh, we need a pass rusher again. So I find that they're able to dial up pressure in some unique ways, and I think Wink Martindale did an excellent job of taking advantage of a rookie quarterback with a unstable offensive line to capitalize. And so I think there's still a need at that rush linebacker spot that's currently filled by McPhee and Ferguson. I still see a need there. But you know, the other thing to look at is our sack numbers. As I mentioned, a lot of it came from DBs, which meant, you know, blitzes from those DBs. And it's good to see us be able to dial up some creative things, but is that going to work against our biggest threat, and that's Kansas City? You know we have to go out through them to get out of the AFC and get into the Super Bowl if we have those aspirations. I'm not sure that it is, and I think, you know, as we see a team like Oakland, a team like the Chargers that have given them problems, it's from that front four. And also, they're, you know, you got to credit both of those teams' offensive lines. They played well against Kansas City. The game's won in the trenches. I've always said that. But, you know, I still think we need to be able to dial up pressure with four, and I'm not sure we're there yet.
Yeah, and look, again, this Cincinnati game was something to the point of, yeah, the Ravens were supposed to do that. The Bengals' offensive line is pretty horrendous. And it was a good starting point because now we know that the Ravens can generate a ton of pressure against bad offensive lines. But the next step of that is generating a ton of pressure against, you know, solid offensive lines and elite offensive lines. So hopefully they'll be able to take that performance and build off of it. But our next question, Cole, comes from Darren J. McCann, and he asks, how much growth should we realistically expect from Devin Duvernay this season? Should we just count on his return ability and some creative plays on offense, or could he become a legitimate factor?
I think he should be being used already as a legitimate factor. I love the way he's running routes. I love his competitiveness. I like a lot of the things he's doing out there. He's just not getting the looks. His snaps are going up, but, you know, his targets didn't. There was one frustrating play. It was a double crosser over the middle, third down. Devin Duvernay breaks wide open on the shallow crosser. Mark Andrews broke over top of him. He was more contested up there in between the linebacker and the safety. And Lamar just passed on Duvernay to get it to Andrews, and it went for an incompletion. So that was one of those frustrating plays that I found where, you know, he was looking more for 89 and 15, but, you know, Duvernay was open and it goes for a first down if he catches it. I keep saying that, you know, get the ball in Duvernay's hands because positive things happen, whether it's, you know, a rush, whether it's a screen, whether it's a return, it doesn't matter. He's looking like a playmaker, and we need the playmakers at the wide receiver position right now. So it's on Greg Roman to get the ball in his hands. So I absolutely think he can be a factor on more than just gadget plays.
Yeah, I've loved what I've seen out of Devin Duvernay. And not only just from his kick return ability, which has been phenomenal, but you mentioned the double crossers. Yes, it would have been nice if Lamar Jackson was able to get him the ball in that situation. But he has shown, you know, whether you talk about the reverse, there's so many things that he's shown in very limited snaps on the offensive side of the ball that he can be a playmaker. And as you said, the Ravens definitely need more of those right now. Our next question comes from Russ Parham. And Russ asks, do you think that Greg Roman will ever have a mindset to be more inventive with regard to the running game? Or is the lack of quality on the offensive line preventing him from having any real confidence in running the ball consistently?
Well, I think in terms of his inventiveness, I think he might be one of the more inventive run game designers in the NFL right now. He runs a blended scheme. He runs zone. He runs gap. He runs options. And we've seen some of his brilliance, like that counter bash play that Lamar Jackson took against Kansas City that went for, I think it was over 30 yards. You know, that's a creative play. It's a quarterback counter, and you don't see it very often. So I think in terms of his inventiveness, I think he has it in his system. And I think we also saw it last year a ton, where he was doing some interesting things with gap concepts out of the option, which typically it's run out of zone just because it makes more sense. But, you know, he saw something where we could confuse defenses by running it out of gap, and he did that. So I like what he's been able to do. You know, the big question is, why isn't he calling some of these plays? So, you know, we've talked about it. I just don't have a good answer for it there. So, but in terms of inventiveness, I still think he's quite inventive. I think, you know, we need to give credit to him. We have a blended system with a ton of concepts.
Yeah, and I think for the Ravens, they just need to get back to running the football a tiny bit more. And I think the whole, you know, they're not running the football is getting overblown a tiny bit. But I do agree that if the Ravens just committed to that just a little bit more, I think things would go a lot better on the offensive side of the ball, because that then opens up passing lanes and the like. But Cole, our final question here comes from Austin Cohn, and he asks, when do you think J.K. Dobbins will see an increase in carries he gets per game? When he's been given touches, he's been a factor.
Well, I hope it's next week. And here's the thing. I love Mark Ingram. I love not only what he brings in the team as a running back, but I just love his leadership. I love his personality. But, I mean, it seems like he's lost a bit of a step. I still think he can be effective in a smaller role, but you know, I think the time is now to feed JK and give him some real looks, or if not, I mean, give Edwards a good run. Some of the plays on these gap concepts where you see Ingram coming behind a guard is he just doesn't have the same burst to kind of keep going. And I think that's what's really hurting him. So I think JK is the opposite. He has that second gear that he can just turn on. I mean, we saw him take that 34-yard sweep concept pretty deep. And, you know, his balance is phenomenal. He runs with he just is able to keep his balance through all sorts of contact. And he does. He really looks like Ray Rice back in his heyday, when he was able to, you know, get low, maintain his balance and work through contact. So, you know, I think the time's now. He's shown enough to me as a rookie that he's ready for more opportunities. When are they going to come? I mean, hopefully they come soon, because we need to start running the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dobbins, you know, leaving that explosiveness on the sideline, I think it just hurts the Ravens. And yes, I agree, Cole. I love Mark Ingram. He obviously was a force in 2019, but just does not look like the same player here in 2020. He's still super important to the Ravens and their success, and it's not like he's playing terribly, but I just think he's not that same player he was in 2019. So you've seen what Dobbins can do. I think they should really, really try to get him more involved, both in the running game and in the passing offense as well. But Cole, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me here again on the show. And hopefully the Ravens can move that record up to 5-1 against the Eagles, and they can be heading into that bye week feeling pretty good.
Yes, and thank you so much to Ravens Flock. This has been so much fun. I love doing this show every week and answering your questions. It's a ton of fun, and you know, this is a big week. Get into that bye week 5-1. Hopefully we can get a little bit more stability on the ground, and then you know, it's a big schedule coming out of that bye. So you know, we need the momentum to maintain going into it.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Cole. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be doing Crossover Thursday with Locked On Eagles and answering more of these mailbag questions we didn't get to today. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.